Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Mark Catlett, Principal Deputy Assistant for Management at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Greg Grieving. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Mark, let's start by talking about the VA. Could you describe its mission and activities for our listeners?
The Department of Veterans Affairs is responsible for providing benefits to 20 to 25 million veterans and their dependents for the country. We do 8 things for veterans, from health care through providing compensation payments for those who are injured or ill from their service, pensions for those who are of low income, education benefits, very important from when they transfer out of the military, and housing benefits, insurance benefits, and vocational rehabilitation. Those are the primary ones. And a burial benefit at the end of their life, where we memorialize their service. So we do a lot of very important things for the people that defend our freedom.
It's a large mission. It's a large organization. How many people are in the VA, and what type of skills do they have?
Well, that's one thing I've always liked about being at the VA. I've been there my whole career. It is a very multifaceted organization. We have, in government terms, a little less than 200,000 FT average employment, but it's probably about 230,000 employees to provide this mission. And it spans the realm from all the professions in healthcare, through the through specialists in business, such as the home housing program. We provide a guarantee there, which gets into credit reform and specialized accounting with that. Vocational rehabilitation, psychiatrist, psychologist. So it is a very, very interesting place, and something even after 26 years, there's things for me to learn in terms of many things that we do for veterans and how well we do them.
Mark, as Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for Management, what are your specific responsibilities?
Greg, my office is responsible. We're a staff function, obviously, at the corporate level for the department, and we are specifically responsible for policy and the oversight of the budget activities, the financial activities, and the procurement activities, and the fourth one, relatively new, the capital asset function. It's been available in the department. We've consolidated that and brought that into our office within this administration. In addition to that policy and oversight, those responsibilities, as well, we are the office that has the direct liaison to the Office of Management Budget and to the committees on the Hill for the budget of the department. That's where I began. That's still sort of my first love and my in terms of my role in the VA, an important part of the value I bring to the department. Those are very important relationships and responsibilities we have in terms of the budget, and that's a direct role that we have. And I said that sort of caps that, as well as then what we do as far as normal types of policy and oversight, policy setting and oversight for the basic business functions.
Mark, in your 26 years, you have a rather unique background in that you've served as both a political appointee and a career civil servant. Can you tell us about that?
Well, that is interesting, Greg. I came to Washington 26 years ago intending on being a federal bureaucrat, proud of that. I enjoy very much what I do. And in the first Clinton administration, Jesse Brown, the secretary who just passed away, asked me to be his political appointee as the assistant secretary for management, which is basically the chief financial officer. I said, no, you got to be nuts. Why would I change? I'm a careerist. I want to be a careerist. And I was assured by folks that I could return to become a careerist. I had the impression that once you left career service on a political appointment, that was it. You know, you were on your own. I was about 40 at the time and said, no, I think I'll stay. But through his very persuasive capabilities, and most importantly, the assurance that I could return to a career slot, I took that political appointment for I was there as long. The day Jesse left is when I returned to career service, but continued to serve in that job another 16 months, as it normally goes in the government, trying to select somebody to fill to follow me. So I did the job for more than 5 years, technically just a little more than 4 of it as the political appointee, as I am doing now. I'm the acting CFO, if you will, because we're still trying to fill in this administration. The last political appointment to be filled in the VA is the chief financial officer. And we're 18 months in, and we're still waiting for that to happen. So for this whole administration as well, I have been basically the acting CFO or assistant secretary, even though my title is, as Paul read, I'm the deputy for that function, but I'm the guy in the spot right now. So I've sort of, and the other point I'd make, sort of that distinction, is that I think I'm very lucky, as many of us are. The VA is a very, very flat organization. There's not a much hierarchy there. And while I was in the political position, I didn't see my job a whole lot different than it is now. As a career, I was trying to do the same thing. You know, the business opportunities there, fortunately from my view, I wasn't required to do a lot of the political activities, did a very few of them, but wasn't required to, wasn't expected to. So I wasn't the normal political appointee who came off the campaign trail, you know, and came in and still obviously was interested not only in doing a job there for my department, but also having an interest in serving that president and the reelection of that president. I was never expected to do that. I didn't come from that. And fortunately, I walked into it not sort of getting a guarantee about that, but fortunately I found that it wasn't expected of me and I didn't want that. I'm very interested in politics and follow it, but I'm a careerist at heart, and like I said, was very much glad and pleased with the fact that I could try to do the job one step above from my former job as the budget officer, trying to do the job of bringing about better business practices and better management in the department as the political appointee, even though, as I said, most of my time, almost all my time, was spent on the business of the VA and not on anything overtly political.
Tell us about your career prior to that. Sort of how long have you been at VA and what?
Well, as we were saying, kidding as we started here, I'm sort of a landmark there. I've been there at the VA now over 26 years, came there in 76, and have been and was through the budget office. The corporate budget office for the VA is where I was until 1989 when I moved up to the, if you will, to the front office for the first time of the Office of Management, and then with 93 with the political appointment. So I basically looked at all the oversight, the budget oversight for all the programs of the VA over my first 13, 14 years there. So I got a good background. Again, I'm a Washington type, been in Washington my whole career. But I did have a good overview. And that's one thing I find in government with, as some people complain about, particularly the folks on the Hill, budget seems to drive everything, particularly in this era. And with that, the reason I see that is that that's the one time a year when the government has to put down, the executive branch has to put down a piece of paper and commit to what they're going to accomplish in the next year. We've made some steps with Results Act and better planning documents. But until that time, you know, the planning documents meant very, very little. The budget was where you really committed. So as the budget officer and as a budget analyst before that, that's where the crunch came in terms of a department and an administration making a commitment to the what they intended to accomplish. We've gotten a whole lot better with identifying results that we intend to achieve and the metrics that go with that. But like I said, over this era, I think budget has become what focuses. And like I said, I was lucky. I fell into it. I came to town in 76. It was the bicentennial year, so every convention was in town. I was a graduate student, came to get walked the streets. It was 95 degrees that week in April. I walked the streets with a couple of buddies looking at interviewing and fell into the job at the VA. I was literally on the bus going back to Connecticut Avenue to my hotel. Had to make a change on the bus. Had time. The guy sitting beside me at rush hour, young guy, said, where do I change buses? And he, fortunately, we had 5 minutes till we got there, and he worked at the VA. We started talking, and next day he had an interview for me. He said, I know a guy that needs somebody. You want to? I said, give me your number. I'll call you tomorrow. So I fell into it at the VA, and great for me. I've been very, very fortunate, I think, to be at the VA.
This is very interesting. Now, you spent your whole career one place and in the public sector. Have you ever thought about changing?
No. I when I was 15 years old, I knew when to come to Washington. I lived 90 miles away. I wanted to come to Washington and be part of the federal government. There was a fascination with me, an interest. And I just wanted to be a part of it. I had no idea if I wanted to be involved politically or bureaucratically, but it's something I wanted to do. I feel strong about it. I think public service is a great thing, and I'm very pleased and feel very fortunate to be the part I am of it at the VA.
And you've been around a lot of different leaders in your career, and I'm curious, what are the good characteristics of effective leaders?
I'd say, in a nutshell, there's two things, and passion and persistence. I think you have to have passion for your mission, for what you want to, and I don't say mission or what you want to accomplish. Jesse Brown, again, not just because he's passing, but was one that, you know, as the leader that I worked directly for, exemplified that the best in terms of his, not just his advocacy for veterans, the broad theme of his life, basically, but as well, the things that he wanted to accomplish, he had a passion for. And then persistence. I mean, like any bureaucracy, I think either public or private, there's a lot of competing interest, and you have to stick to it to get to see through the things that you want to bring about. And so, to me, like I say, in a nutshell, I would say those are the two characteristics that are most important for good leadership.
That's interesting, but it's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Mark Catlett of the VA. The VA and the Department of Defense serve many of the same people. What's the relationship between the two? We'll ask Mark when the Business of Government Hour returns.